special note to the public, due to recommendations for limited gatherings to no more than 10 people in order to help slow the spread of COVID-19 virus. Public access to the meeting will be provided via conference call to listen and participate in the meeting. Members of the public who would like to call in should dial 918-221-0224. Excuse me, I'm getting a phone call myself. Oh, well, it was a missed call. Okay, anyway, they should dial 918-221-0224 and enter the following number, 222-592-9465#, when prompted for the access code. We please ask that you mute your phone if possible. Audio recordings of all board meetings will be posted on our website, www.storycountyiowa.gov, after the meeting is concluded. You may access these recordings at any time by clicking on the meeting and agenda button on the home page. Okay, so the meeting has been called to order, and I'd like to call for the roll of first Board of Health members. One, John Passion. Who else is here?
Molly Lee.
Okay, Molly Lee.
Mark Speth.
Okay, anyone else from the Board of Health?
John Kluge.
And John Kluge. Okay, anyone else?
Lisa Hutter's here.
Okay, well, I was going to get to you as the ex-officio. Okay. All right, so we have Mark Speth, Molly Lee, and John Kluge, as well as Lisa Hedlunds. Okay, who else is on the line?
Yeah, Olson.
Very good. Anyone else on the line who would like to identify themselves? Okay, very good. The first thing we're going to do is approve the agenda. The agenda is somewhat short, but we'll take a stab at it. Any questions about the agenda? Okay, I'd like to have a motion to move for approval.
So moved.
That's not good. Okay, and second and John Kluge, any further discussion? Okay, all those in favor, please speak out. Mark Speck?
Aye.
Molly Lee?
Aye.
John Kluge?
Aye.
And John Passion, aye. Okay, consent agenda. All items listed under the consent agenda will be enacted by one motion. There will be no separate discussion of these items unless a request is made prior to the time the board votes on the motion. This part of this consent agenda is for corrected pay adjustment. It's June 21st, 2020, for Catherine Baslinski at 28.62 per hour, and step increase of longevity effective March 14th, 2021 at 29.21 per hour. Any questions about these?
Yeah, I don't know. Why wasn't it right last time, or what was wrong, I guess? It never explained what was wrong.
Yeah, I think that there was, I think, if I remember correctly, and Stephanie, speak up if I don't get this right, it was basically an error on calculation, according to Margaret.
That's mostly correct. HR just made an error, and the error was found, so now we're correcting it.
Okay, that's good. That's all I need. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions at all? Okay, I need a movement for approval of the consent agenda.
So moved.
Okay, second?
Second.
Okay, very good. Any further discussion? All those in favor, Mark Beck?
Aye.
Molly Lee?
Aye.
Dan Kluge?
Aye.
John Passion, aye. Okay, public forum. This is the time for members of the public to open comments concerning matters. This is the time for members of the public to offer comments concerning matters not scheduled to be heard before the Board of Health. Is anyone out there who wishes to speak of something else? Okay, then we'll move on to our agenda item. Discussion and consideration for the Story County Board of Health to provide an opinion on whether requiring face coverings to be worn in common use areas of all Story County-owned buildings is a reasonable public health measure during the COVID-19 pandemic. This is not necessarily an action item, but it is an kind of a advice item. Okay? So, Supervisor Olson, would you like to make any statements at this time?
Just thank you very much for to the Board of Health for you giving more of your volunteer time here to do this special meeting. As the county is supervisors are starting to talk about opening the buildings at some point in the future, July 1st is thrown around, but it'll be based on some metrics that we're following. But in addition to that, the court system, the state court system is looking at trying to get proceedings other than jury trials going in mid-July. And Supervisor Hedden serves on that advisory group that I sat in, the judicial system admin, are trying to put together to figure out what will happen. One of the likely things, obviously, that they might come back is wanting people to wear face coverings in common areas. As a county, we have a situation where the Board of Supervisors did, in fact, pass policy calling for the wearing of face coverings in all the common areas. Various elected other officials decided not to officially adopt the policy, but they would use it as guidelines. And of course, the whole concern is that we've brought the staff back now, and now we're going to have the public come in. And we just want to make sure that, like, the bathroom, and when I say we, it's me right now because somebody had to take a lead on this. So the actual discussion about what happens will be had at the Board of Supervisors table. But there are steps that, as people have been pulling together information, there are steps that need to be taken, I think, to believe that we have the best conversation possible. One of those steps was actually provided by via conversation with Supervisor Hedden, and she made some inquiries on the state level. And Lisa, do you want to address that?
Yeah, sorry, I had to put mine on mute, or get mine off mute. So you're wondering about my inquiry, Laura, just so I'm clear on your question.
I just thought, did you want to explain that, you know, you inquired about exactly what the response was?
Oh, yeah. So I did inquire to the ISA Association Times, ISAC, about the use of face masks. And they kind of came back and said, I don't know if I'll use that email, but basically was that their interpretation is that it could be done to be kind of came back to your talk to your local Board of Health and to your you know, county attorney and stuff on that. And so that's why we're bringing it, or that was kind of the information that I got back from them.
Okay. All right.
Actually, I've got the exact email right here. Sorry, just give me a moment. It said the advice, it said their advice is that counties can require masks as long as it's tied to public health measures. Because counties have the authority to enact public health regulations, particularly on county property. So she would. This is the person from ISAC who said, I would defer to your public health department to determine if it's a reasonable measure, that they do believe it aligns with current CDC guidance. So that's how this came before the Board of Health. Or I'm not going to put words in Laura's mouth, but that's the language that I got. I got from ISAC when this question kind of came up.
Yes, and because of that, I brought it to you, and then I have sent the request email to our county attorney, who has already sent these meetings, like for KUPAG and I believe it's Board Table 2, that they believe that the Board of Supervisors does in fact have control, if you will, over the common areas. So I'm just, you are part of this because it's being done as a public health measure. So that's for asking you guys to weigh in from a public health measure. Policy separate, that'll be discussed by the Board of Supervisors.
Okay. So, Laura, just to make it clear, this is John Ashton talking.
Yes.
Are you saying the Board of Supervisors has the ability to say, or ability to recommend face masks in the common area? Do they also have the ability to recommend or to require face masks for our staff?
Okay, yeah, that's a good question. It's not a yes or no answer, no. So we would be setting, if the Board of Supervisors passed what I'm working on right now, it would be required, not recommend, but require for common areas. The way the Iowa Code 331, Chapter 331 is set up, it makes it clear, along with there has been a couple of court cases, that Boards of Supervisors do not have the ability to discipline or control a great matter the employees that report to other elected officials. So Ted, we can set the, for example, we can set the building hours that the building's open, but if Ted Rasmussen wants to have his staff work different hours, he can. Okay? So when the Board of Supervisors passed the policy, the other elected officials decided not to adopt it because there were concerns about enforcement of it. And so they want to still be able to handle their own, you know, to handle their own counseling, their own maybe documentation or whatever for their employees. This particular one, now, is what we would be doing is we would be saying that all people, public or county staff people, regardless of who they report to, in the common areas would need to wear a mask in the common areas due to the public health issue. While they're in their various departments, for example, while they're, you know, in some area controlled by the auditor, some area controlled by the supervisor, or sorry, by the treasurer, you know, the jail, which is, you know, basically controlled by the sheriff sets the policy. So the auditor will set that policy, or the treasurer sets that policy within those areas that he controls. This would be us saying that, yes, when you're in the common areas, due to public health measure, you need to wear a mask.
All right, this is John Ashton again, and you can talk about the legal issues
at
your Board of Supervisors meeting, but from a medical, it's kind of a, there's no question at all, a mask should be required to be worn in a common area. You should try to make sure that people practice social distancing at least 6 feet apart. We're currently in the midst of an uptick in our cases in Story County of COVID-19, so we're not done with it. I'd also would feel that from my standpoint, as what we're getting from the CDC, that it should be recommended that anyone, whether even if they're not in the common area, if they cannot practice social distancing, that they need to wear a mask. I also feel it's going to be important for the county to be able to supply masks for people who don't have them. Some of the solutions that have been made is at Mary Greeley Medical Center, they had volunteers make cloth masks, and then people drop them off when they're leaving the hospital, and then the hospital launders them. A cloth mask is not quite as good as a surgical grade mask, but it's actually much, much better than nothing.
Thank you. In fact, to address the masks, and their facial coverings, actually OSHA has standards for not only the grade of mask, if you're going to call it a mask in the workplace, but also training requirements, et cetera. So we're all learning to say facial coverings instead. But thank you, Dr. Patchen, because our facilities management department has already located a store and made a purchase already. The masks are already on site for us in all of our buildings to be able to provide. It'll be a disposable mask at this point for any member of the public who doesn't have face covering. In addition, at the time that the Board of Supervisors enacted the original policy in the common areas, and the policy is broader. It talked about social distancing, too, or whatever. But we're just talking about in the common areas. That's what we're down to. But at that time of the policy, the Board of Supervisors instructed staff to collect from all of the department heads and elected officials how many masks they would need. So some people already have their own or making their own, giving their friends their own. And as a result of that, we purchased 200 masks of cloth also. And we will make more available to the staff if they need them. As ones we're out or whatever. So we've covered that. So thank you very much, Dr. Patchen.
And these are not N95, correct?
Correct, they're not. Yeah, like I said, we our risk manager, Todd Ludwell, did a great deal on research.
Good.
And discovered that when we're talking about, well, the N95s are in short supply, as you well know, as a medical professional. So we don't want to take away from that we don't want to be in that competition to take away from the medical providers and the people who really are on the front line to need them. And second of all, there are these training requirements, et cetera, that go with providing something that is considered by OSHA to be that kind of mask.
The other thing that you're going to have to keep in mind as you discuss this, you have to have a way out for people who cannot breathe with a mask on because you're going to get those. And also, the recommendation is for children under 2 years of age not to be forced to wear a mask.
Got it. Thank you for that. We already have facilities management working with our outreach liaison, making some simple signs, you know, saying about social distance, 6 feet, and wear a mask that we'll be putting up in all the buildings. We can go ahead then, I don't think they've printed any of those yet, but we could put maybe a phrase on saying like questions, you know, contact, and then we'll have them identify maybe, the board will have to decide who will be the contact person so that someone who comes in who's having, you know, it's going to interfere with their breathing or with a little kid, so just that they can be assured that they can still be in the building and we're just going to, I suspect, like I said, we don't have this conversation until I believe June 16th. That we would be able to really just ask them to please social distance.
Okay, I think that's
Dr. Patchen, this is Lisa. I just have a couple of questions.
Please.
One I didn't hear, what did you say for under the age of children under the age of two?
Yes, that's just our general guidelines that we use at the clinic, is that it's hard to keep a mask in a little child. And I mean, if they will, that's fine, but we don't really kind of push it.
Okay. And then what are the ages for, like, the utilization of a pediatric mask?
You know, it's more like the size of their face. So I don't have a good, that's a good question, mostly how they'll fit.
So I'm just wondering, like, if you have just a regular paper mask, like you guys have, like the surgical ones.
Right.
Is that like a one-size-fit-all, or is that more of an adult?
No, that's more an adult one, and they also have a pediatric size.
Okay, that's what I want to say. Thank you.
And some of the kids who use the pediatric size mask, it's obviously too small for them. Their ears are bent.
Sure.
So it really depends on how they fit.
Okay, great, thank you.
Yeah, this is Laura. This is Mark Speck.
Hi.
Just as important as the face covering, I'd like, or maybe you already thought of this, but I think we need some hand sanitizer inside the building when they enter. Everybody should use hand sanitizer when in and out.
Yes, and we have acquired additional dispensers. Joby Brunden, our facilities manager, has been very resourceful and started very early. So we do have, at the main entrance of every building, there will be at least one hand sanitizer that will be watched to make sure it's got sanitizer in it. Sanitizer itself, you may have heard, is still kind of a shortage item, but Auditor Lucy Martin works, she knew of a source, and so we're getting some from that source. And yes, so I will also put on there as reminders to maybe have some signs up around the buildings about that. We're going to have a sign right when people walk into each entrance, main entrance, saying, you know, please use the sanitizer, and also with the face that we're going to just leave these masks out, the disposable ones, but we are going to ask one per person, please, so we don't end up providing some to the whole county, you know, so the sanitizer, yes, but we could use some independent signs. Most of the departments also have dispensers of sanitizer up at their main areas also. Already we covered that, so thank you.
You know, one other thing, Loris, I'd like to recommend is, especially in some of your departments, I know you guys have a big county job, those need to be wiped down every once in a while.
Yes, the counters, once again, our facilities management department, the county has been very proactive in activating our continuation of government plan, and so discussions were had very early about, you know, making sure that we had adequate supplies and an adequate continued load for the disinfectants. And each department is given disinfectant to spray in spray bottles to wipe down. And they already are doing that even among themselves as they're touching door jams. Or I was in Supervisor Hayden's office last week. I leaned against the wall for a little bit while talking to her. We've got the spray bottle in a rag and I wiped down the wall. But we also, as you may have known, with the county auditor, during the primary election, she went and purchased inexpensive pens so that people could vote and either take the pen with them or they could wipe the pen down. And we also have installed plexiglass all of the areas now where we would have interaction with the public if there wasn't already glass there. So, for example, conservation, if you've been out to McFarland Park, there's always glass there. There's safety glass there, okay? So the staff is separated if somebody would come in and inquire. But we didn't have any in the treasurer's office, the recorder's office, and now plexiglass has been constructed on all of those counters also. So we're not only wiping down, but we installed that for the safety of people. Everybody's had about the last month to practice wiping down things.
Good. Very good. Okay, so I'd like to hear from each of the Board of Health members. Molly, do you have anything to say on all this?
I think most of what I was going to say or ask has already been covered, and I think that, yeah, definitely the issue of the face masks, having those is definitely a reasonable public health measure. So I agree with everything that's been said. And then the only other thing that I would mention, in addition to the other measures that people have asked or commented on thus far, is if, especially in those common areas, no-touch waste receptacles are available. And you may already have that as a part of your plan or in those areas, but that's also something we don't really want people to be touching repeatedly as those trash receptacles.
Okay.
Thank you for that one.
Great. John Kluge?
If we're doing this as well as the buildings, I would think 200 are going to be gone in a day.
Yeah.
The public coming in. I mean, all the buildings, just in the building over here in Ames, the public coming in and out, and I can't believe 200 masks are going to last you more than a day or two.
Will these masks be, are these disposable masks or?
So we're talking about two different kinds of face coverings. The 200 number was cloth masks for our staff, for staff members who don't have already their own cloth facial coverings.
How about the public coming in? What are you going to
We're buying many more of those. Those are those disposable ones that, you know, a lot of people can buy with home health care if they were doing home wound care or whatever. And they're the paper-ish type ones. And we are definitely buying many more than 200 of those, Dr. Foogie. Definitely. Right now, they're costing, the price review was $37 per 50 of them. So they're pricey, but that's what we feel is the best way to be able to do, to offer that option for the public. We also already talked about them being able to, they can either take them with, or if they choose to dispose of it, we're going to have trash receptacles right near the doors when they walk out. To Dr. Lee's comment, right away, the facilities management in the various apartment areas where our trash cans are, they took the lids away so that, you know, we weren't touching the lids. But had not thought about that for the, I don't think that the discussion's been in the public areas like that. So thank you, Dr. Lee. But yeah, you're right, Dr. Lee. We expect to go through many more than 200 of those disposable ones.
Okay. Very good. Okay, Mark Speck, do you have anything more? Anything else you want to say? Mark? Hello?
Yeah, I'm fine with everything. Everything works really good.
Okay, Lisa?
No, I don't have any other comments. I appreciate the discussion that you've put forth so far, and you've touched on, I think your additional conversation has touched on a number of things we've already been talking about with our various groups as well. So it's nice having that affirmation.
Yeah, basically it sounds like you guys know what you need to do. Okay. All right. So, Loris, you won't need anything else from us right now.
That is correct. I mean, you know, when Stephanie contacted me about how to word it for your agenda, I said, hey, just in case you want to pass a motion, that's fine, but you're under no obligation to pass a motion either. You're now on the record as pointing out and agreeing that it seems a reasonable public health measure. So I believe that's all that we need per kind of the instructions that came from IFAC. The next step here is I haven't heard back from the county attorney's office on my questions yet, but a lot of questions I did ask is what form do we even bring this to the Board of Supervisors to start the discussion? Is it a motion from us, not you, but from us? Is it a resolution that would be created for the Board of Supervisors to issue? Would it be some type of ordinance? And I haven't heard back from them. I am working on a resolution. And in that resolution, if the resolution format is what the county attorney's office suggests, I will be putting in the resolution as one of the whereas that on June 8th, the Board of Health by consensus stated that they believe this was a reasonable public health measure.
Okay. Okay. All you Board of Health members, are you all okay with all this? Any objections?
Well, you want a consensus on this, or
no.
How do we do it?
I don't know. I think we've kind of basically have said a consensus. We've all had a chance to talk, and none of us have come out and said, no, I don't think that that's the way to go. Am I reading you correctly?
I agree.
Okay. Molly?
Yep, I agree.
Mark?
Yes, I agree.
Okay, sounds good. It's always hard when they can't just look at people and see you nod. Okay, so there you go, Laura. You got it.
I appreciate it. Once again, thanks a lot for giving a little bit of your Monday night. You guys have been doing a lot lately.
You're very welcome. Okay, so let's go to comments. We have no staff members. Well, Stephanie's here. Do you have any comments, Stephanie?
I have none.
Okay, so let's go around the room. Mark, do you have any comments?
I have none.
Molly, do you have any comments?
No comments, thanks.
Molly, can I ask you, did the schools ever get back to you about what kind of advice, if any, did they want from us?
Oh, yeah, good question. No, I have not heard back yet. I did reach out to them. I know that they also have a school board meeting today. It's the second Monday of every month, so that overlaps with our meeting here. So that might be one reason if they wanted to discuss it at their board meeting first. But I'll let the group know when I hear back.
Thank you very much. Okay, John.
Dr. Fashion?
Yes.
I'm sorry. This is wonderful to that issue that you and Dr. Lee just discussed. Last week's weekly jurisdictional update that we received, meaning the mayors and the board supervisors, that we received through the emergency management coordinator, we were informed that almost all of the school districts in the county have been having discussions with Melissa Spencer, the Deputy Emergency Operations Coordinator, about trying to look at planning for reopening. Just to let you know that some of those discussions, it sounds like they were asking for some discussion facilitation from emergency coordinators.
Okay, very good.
That's it. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. Okay. John Kluge, do you have anything to say?
No, have we heard anything back from the state fair board, or are they going to have a state fair?
No, I haven't. Oh, no, I haven't heard of anything. Molly, have you?
I haven't heard anything from the state fair, no. Do not know for sure about Story County Fair. I know that for some of the other counties, like Boone County, they haven't yet released their plan, kind of like what we saw last week for the Story County Fair to the public. So I think if they're on the same timeline as one another, all the counties are, they're probably in those stages of finalizing with it within 4-H, Civwood, and FFA, and then soon we'll be releasing that to the public for the county fairs, but I don't know anything about the state fairs.
Okay, so thank you very much. Okay, anything else, John?
No.
Okay, Lisa, do you have anything else you wish to say?
No, I don't, thank you.
Okay, and then the only thing I want to say before we take a vote, before I entertain a motion for adjournment, is that if you need to get in touch with me during your Board of Supervisors meeting, just give me a call on my cell phone, okay? And then if you leave a message, there's a pretty good chance I'll see it between patients, and I could kind of take a few minutes to answer questions if you had any for me. Okay?
Thank you.
Okay. All right. So, with no further ado, I'd like to entertain a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Okay. And second, sounds like a second. All those in favor? Mark?
Aye.
Molly?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
John Passion, and we are adjourned. Okay, guys, thank you very much for your extra time here tonight. And good luck with our Board of Supervisors, okay?
Thanks. Okay.
Okay. Thanks much. All right, guys. Bye-bye.